In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, people, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, we love Jesus. Are you sure you love Jesus? Very sure I love Jesus. Tell me why you love Jesus. This is why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It wasn't my idea to love Jesus. It was his will that loved me first so that I could love him back. Oh yes, it is not that I have loved the Lord, but that he has loved me and given me the grace to depend upon his cross, burial, and resurrection. He decided to love you. It was his decision. You say, I don't think so. I know so. I know so. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I believe in Jesus, but he first believed in me. I have faith in Jesus, but he first had faith in me. He chose me. I only chose him after he chose me. Why? Because he loved us first, before we were even created. Oh yes, he loved you. He loves you. He's got plans for your life. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Oh, Jesus loves you. He's got a hope for you. He's got a future for you. You say, I'm too old. No, you're not too old. No one's too old. Unless you're 170, no one's too old. He's got plans for you. He's got plans for the church. He's got plans for me. And we want those plans because we need those plans that God has for us. Oh, yes. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, you can't go throughout the world, but I'm going to send people to you from all around the world. And we've had people from India, from Africa, from Rome, from the Holy Land. We've had people who came to us to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, God promised that to me. And they're still coming. I'll never forget when I received a call about Martin Bozundek. The woman said, will you take a Polish man who's just became a priest? I said, yes. She said, no one else wants him. I said, I'll get the blessing. Oh, yes. Martin is a man of God. Martin loves the Lord, but the Lord first loved Martin. Do you love the Lord? But the Lord first loved you. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. I'm looking at St. Mark, the 12th chapter of St. Mark, the 13th verse. Then they sent to Jesus some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. So they sent Jesus Pharisees and Herodians to trap him. And they came and said to Jesus, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and you show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You see, they're trying to butter him up. But they want to ask him a question so that he'll trip up. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at Jesus. What does God have? Anything that you have has been given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything you have. If you have riches, it's to share with people. It was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "But I had to work." God gave you the grace to work. You know, everything that I have has been given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say, "I have this of my own." I have nothing of my own. Everything is a gift that the Lord has given me. Therefore, I cannot glorify myself, because it has nothing to do with me other than me accepting what God has given me. Do you know that today? You say, "But God gave me nothing." Oh, that's a lie from hell. God gave you something. He gave you Christ. He gave you His Son. He gave you how to read. He gave you how to write. He gave you how to live in a house. Oh, yes. Everything I have came from the Lord. Everything you have comes from the Lord. But people will say, "But we've worked for it." Yes, and God gave you the ability to work. Some Sadducees, now the Sadducees are sad, you see, because they do not believe in the resurrection. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and asked him a question. They want to trip him up, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother." There were seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, left no children. The second married and died, and leaving no children. The third likewise. None of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. Here's the question. In the resurrection, which they didn't believe in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her. And Jesus said to them, "Is not this the reason you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God?" They go together. The scriptures and the power of God go together. "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read the book of Moses in the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is God not of the dead, but of the living." You are quite wrong. You see, they tried to trip him up. You can't trip up Jesus. He has wisdom. He's the wisdom of the Father. And finally, the cross will be the wisdom of God. The cross will be the wisdom of God, that Jesus gave his life for you and for me so that we might have eternal life. Eternal life is this: to know you, the one true God, Father, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Eternal life is to know, not to think about, but to know, not to wonder, but to know the Father and the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Then the scribe said to Jesus, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one God, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices." Do you love him today? We started by singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Do you love him today? Have you told him, "I love you, Jesus"? Have you told him, "I need you, Jesus"? Have you told him, "I want you, Jesus"? Have you told me, "I have nothing but you, Lord Jesus. You are the way. Show me the way that you are to the Father. The only way to get to the Father is through the cross of Jesus Christ." Oh, yes. Do you know that today? I believe it. I know it. "You are not far from the kingdom," he said to this person. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, and you know his teaching went on, it wasn't just like a 5-minute teaching. We remember that there were 4,000 people that Jesus was teaching, and they were with Jesus for 3 whole days. So Jesus was able to preach for hours, and preaching, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David?" David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand,'" that's Jesus, "'until I put your enemies under your feet.'" And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. David himself calls him Lord. So how can he be his son? And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. Oh, yes. These were people that had no Bible, but they had the living word with them, the Lord Jesus Christ. The living word. Oh, yes, God spoke to me in Psalm 40 before I read Psalm 40. Oh, yes, he said, "You can be in the deepest mud hole, but I'll always be there to pull you out because I'm your loving Father." And when I read Psalm 40, I said, "This is my story. I waited and waited for the Lord, and he heard me, and he took me out of the mud hole, the miry clay, and put my feet upon a rock, that's Jesus. Many will see and be glad." I never knew that I'd be on radio. I never knew that I'd be on television. I never knew that I'd be on YouTube. But you see, God knew it, because he made me a blessing, and he is my blessing. It is first that God loved me before I loved him. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." Oh, yes. I tell you, when I go to a wedding, they put me on the head table. I don't want to be at the head table. I have nothing to do with the head table. I want to be out there with the people. It's all about being with the people, not about being on the at the wedding table. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Just the way it is. I never liked it. I want to be out with the people. You know what? Have you been out with the people? Have you shared your faith with people? Have you gone through your heart and told people about what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus is doing for you? Have you looked to Jesus and told people about Jesus? Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Verse 41 of Mark 12. He sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came up and put two small copper coins, which are worth just a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had." Don't tell me you're the widow. You've got a microwave oven. You've got a long TV. You've got the clicker. Oh, yes. You work. You're not the widow. Do you tithe your money? I was thinking of someone that I met from Louisiana. It was very interesting. He had a music ministry. And I said to him, "Do you tithe your money that you receive?" He said, "Tithe? I can't even pay my bills." I said, "Start tithing and see what happens." As he started to tithe, he got more invitations to sing and to play. He said, "My, I never knew this. The tithing our money would open the windows of heaven." Yes, open the windows of heaven. How we need to have those windows open. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Or are you one of the people that gives reluctantly to the Lord? Gives reluctantly to the Lord. Oh no, it's my joy to give to the Lord. Why? Because he first gave to me. Anything I have, again, came from him. Whatever I am, whatever I have, anything good that I have came from him. He gave it to me. He gave me the ability to preach. Out of her poverty has she put everything she had, all she had to live on. I remember being at a prayer meeting out of state, and this lady who cared for the poor came up to me and said, "The Lord told me to give you all the money in my wallet." I said to her, "Please, you care for the poor." She said, "The Lord told me, and so here it is." I took it, but didn't want to take it. But she said, "The Lord told her." So what did I have to do? I had to take it because the Lord told her. As chapter 13 of Mark, as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Oh, look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Why? Because they failed to receive the visitation of God in Jesus Christ. Don't fail to receive the visitation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please. And you know what? That happened in the year 70. Not one stone upon another stone. The whole temple and all the buildings were completely destroyed. Why? They failed to receive the visitation of God in Christ Jesus What about you today? Are you receiving the visitation of God in Christ Jesus? Are you? Are you? And when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, he would look into the where the temple was. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" In other words, tell us about this end of the world. It's not the end of the world, because the world never ends. It is transformed. The New Jerusalem. Oh yes, the New Jerusalem. How we need to be transformed in our lives. How we need to be transformed in our thoughts. How we need to be transformed in our hearts. Oh yes. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms will rise against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the beginning of labor, when a woman is having a child. These things are the beginning of labor. "As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues." I told you, in the last 10 years, the persecuted Christians, 900,000 died for the sake of Jesus, and we don't even remember them in our prayers. 900,000 persecuted Christians died for the sake of Jesus. Look it up in Google. Ask Google how many persecuted Christians died in the last 10 years. He'll tell you, 900,000. "Yes, as for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors, kings, because of me, as a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations." I remember Sister Ruth went someplace where the gospel was never proclaimed, and she proclaimed the gospel in this place. And you want to know what? They gave her something to drink, not alcoholic, and she was in bed for 3 days, conked out. Her mother, from where she was, started to pray for her daughter, that her daughter would be okay. After 3 days, she was fine. I tell you, God is so good. He has given us everything. We need only to thank him and to use the things that he's given us. Oh yes, we need to thank him. You see, everyone can't be listening to the radio today. Thank him for the radio. Thank him for the Word of God. Thank him for the power of God. You neither know the Word of God nor the power of God. They go together, the Word of God and the power of God. How we need the Word of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and to cause us to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Have you learned today inwardly in your heart that everything you have is a gift from God? Have you learned that He first loved you before you loved Him? I hope you have. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.